The Talking Points podcast is produced in partnership with Fee Michael Gibson and ClinicalTrialResults.org.
Hi, Mike Gibson, Christian Ruff, coming to you live from AHA 2023, and we're talking about a hot topic, factor 11 and 11A inhibition. This is dual inhibition, right, Christian? This isn't just factor 11, it's 11 and 11A, and, abelacimab and how it did in atrial fibrillation, I think probably one of the hotter topics here. Christian, talk to us a little bit about factor 11 and 11A inhibition. This is a little different than just regular factor 11 inhibition.
Yeah, we know that factor 11 inhibition has emerged as a promising target to uncouple hemostasis from thrombosis. And so we potentially have the opportunity to provide hemostasis sparing anticoagulation because factor 11 is intimately involved in thrombus growth and propagation, but mostly dispensable for normal hemostasis, allowing blood vessels to heal in response of injury. And abelacimab is one of the novel factor 11 inhibitors, and it has an interesting mechanism where it's a highly selective, fully human monoclonal antibody. And the way it acts is it binds to factor 11 and actually locks it in the inactive state, preventing the formation of activated factor 11. And the efficacy of abelacimab was actually established in a phase 2 open label prospective randomized trial in patients undergoing total knee replacement, where abelacimab given IV, a single dose prior to total knee replacement, reduced venous thromboembolism by 80% compared to standard of care. And based on that, we designed the Azalea-TIMI 71 trial, where our objective really was to evaluate the bleeding profile of abelacimab relative to rivaroxaban, a standard of care DOAC, in patients with atrial fibrillation at moderate to high risk of stroke. And we randomized 1,287 patients with atrial fibrillation at moderate to high risk of ischemic stroke to one of three arms, abelacimab 150 milligrams sub-Q monthly, abelacimab 90 milligrams sub-Q monthly, or rivaroxaban 20 milligrams daily with appropriate dose adjustment in select patients. It's important to note that the trial was blinded with respect to the two abelacimab doses, but open label with respect to rivaroxaban and abelacimab. Event-driven trial targeting 166 major or clinically relevant non-major bleeds. And we enrolled across 95 sites in seven countries in North America, Europe, and Asia. Key inclusion criteria for the trial, relatively streamlined trial, age 55 years or above, any history of atrial fibrillation or flutter. Patients did have to have a CHADS 2 VAS score of 4 or greater, although patients with a CHADS 2 VAS score of 3 could be randomized if they had planned concomitant antiplatelet use for the duration of the trial or creatinine clearance less than 50. We were surprised when earlier this year in September that we were alerted by the Independent Data Monitoring Committee that they had unanimously agreed to recommend termination of the trial because of the substantially greater than anticipated reduction in major or clinically relevant non-major bleeds, the primary endpoint, in both abelacimab arms compared to rivaroxaban with a benefit risk that favored abelacimab. You know, based on that recommendation, we of course proceeded immediately to an orderly closeout of the trial, which is actually still ongoing. So the data presented at the American Heart Association is based on the last DMC snapshot. Median follow-up in the trial, 1.8 years, so the longest and sort of largest of our factor 11 experiences to date. At that time, 87 patients had experienced the primary endpoint, which was 52% of the planned 166 events. Premature drug continuation was less than 5% per year across the treatment arm, was low rates of withdrawn consent and loss to follow-up. Median age of patients, 74, as expected for an atrial fibrillation trial, 44% female. Median CHADS 2 VAS score of 5, so high-risk patient population, with 22% of patients having a CHADS 2 VAS score of greater than 6. About 92% of patients were actually anticoagulation experienced at baseline, which is defined as being on an anticoagulant for 60 days or longer in the past, the majority of them on a DOAC, 66%. And the primary endpoint of the
trial. It's very important, Christian. I mean, they passed their bleeding stress
test. They did. Right.
Already.
Unlike the DOAC versus warfarin trials, where, you know, approximately 60% were anticoagulation experienced, really the vast majority had been on an anticoagulant for an extended period of time. So clearly had passed their anticoagulation stress test, which I think is also important in interpreting the bleeding results, because obviously many patients new to anticoagulation, we know, have higher rates of bleeding. And the primary endpoint, which was major clinically relevant non-major bleeding, both abelacimab doses were associated with substantial and highly significant reductions in major clinically relevant non-major bleeding, with 67% reduction with the 150 milligram dose and a 77% reduction in the 90 milligram dose. If we look at major bleeding alone, the 150 milligram dose reduced major bleeding significantly by 74% and 81% in the 90 milligram dose. And if you look at GI bleeding in particular, which is by far the most common type of bleeding we see in DOAC bleeding, both doses reduced GI bleeding by 93%, so a substantial reduction. The rates of intracranial hemorrhage were low and similar across the groups, and both abelacimab doses reduced the net clinical outcome of 51%. We did look at ischemic events and mortality. These were exploratory endpoints. The trial was not powered for these endpoints. The rates of stroke and systemic embolism were low in the trial, actually about 1% per year across treatment arms, and did not differ between groups. There were no significant differences in the rates of all-cause stroke, which again was around 1% per year across treatment arms, or ischemic stroke in particular, with similar rates of all-cause mortality. And as mentioned, the net clinical outcome was reduced by 51% with both abelacimab arms, and that was an outcome that was comprised of ischemic stroke, systemic embolism, major or clinically relevant non-major bleed, and all-cause mortality. Abelacimab in this phase 2b trial was well tolerated with similar rates of adverse events, serious adverse events, and injection site reactions were uncommon. And so in summary, abelacimab, you know, substantially reduced bleeding compared to rivaroxaban. Again, 67 to 77% reductions in major clinically relevant non-major bleeding, 74 to 81% reductions in major bleeding, and 93% reductions in major or GI bleeding, with similar rates of adverse events of abelacimab for rivaroxaban. Important to mention that the efficacy of abelacimab is being studied in an ongoing phase 3 trial, the LILAC-TEMI 76 trial, which is a phase 3 randomized double-blind trial of 1,900 patients being randomized to either abelacimab 150 milligrams or placebo sub-Q monthly. And these are high-risk patients with atrial fibrillation who have been deemed unsuitable for currently available anticoagulation. And the primary outcome of that trial is ischemic stroke or systemic embolism.
And Christian, you mentioned some pretty impressive relative risk reductions. What kind of absolute risk reductions were there in the bleeding endpoints?
Yeah, and so if we look at, say, major bleeding or clinically relevant non-major bleeding, the rates of the annual rates of bleeding, 8.1% for rivaroxaban and 2.7% in the 150 milligram group and 1.9% in the 90 milligram group. So pretty substantial reductions for major clinically relevant non-major bleeding. If we look at major bleeding, the difference sort of between 2 and 3%, the rates of major bleeding for rivaroxaban per year, 3.7 and 1% for 150 milligrams and 0.7% for the 90 milligrams. GI bleeding, which again is the majority of bleeding on rivaroxaban or other DOACs, was 2.1%. And the rates of GI bleeding for both abelacimab arm was 0.1%, so 2% per year reductions in gastrointestinal bleeding. As I mentioned,
Well, when you're talking about a 2% reduction, you'd only need to treat 50 people to reduce one of those GI bleeds. I think that's been one of the real problems with the class. Obviously, the reduced ICH, the DOAC, but one of the hangovers, particularly for rivaroxaban, was the GI bleeding.
Exactly.
A 2% reduction there.
And we know most GI bleeds lead to hospitalization. And as you said, really, as a class, all of the DOACs are really not any better than warfarin for GI bleeding. You know, they're either similar or statistically worse for GI bleeding as a class increasing GI bleeding.
Right.
5%. So that's been a big impediment to their utilization and has led to undertreatment, even though there's this marked 50% reduction in intracranial hemorrhage.
Now, Christian, I've got a prop right here. It's actually kind of funny that I have it. I could give someone a Diet Coke and I could reduce major bleeding.
Right.
What about efficacy? You know, you stopped early, you're underpowered to assess efficacy. How confident are we that there's no trade-off in terms of ischemic endpoints?
Well, I think that you need a phase three trial to fully determine, you know, are any of the factor 11 inhibitors, including abelacimab, as, you know, effective or more effective, obviously, compared to a DOAC. I will say that, you know, we know in general anticoagulation reduces stroke by about, you know, 65 to 70%, depending on the agent. For a CHADS VAS score of 5, which is the median CHADS VAS score in an unanticoagulated patient, we would expect rates of stroke, you know, well in excess of 5 to 6% per year. And so if we look, you know, at this trial, which again was not powered to determine whether abelacimab was as effective as rivaroxaban, the rates of stroke and systemic embolism were, you know, 1% for rivaroxaban, 1.1% per year for abelacimab, 150 milligrams once daily, once monthly, and 1.4% for abelacimab, 90 milligrams. And so the rates are sort of in line with what we expect for effective anticoagulation. But obviously the true differences between DOACs and abelacimab does require a phase three trial. But the rates of ischemic events were low and what we'd expect for effective anticoagulation.
Great. Well, amazing. Great job. Great conduct of the trial. Impressive reductions in bleeding, including GI bleeding, that's so critical in this area. Look forward to seeing what you find in your phase three study.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you today.
Great. Thanks, Christian.
Yeah.